Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Hi everybody.
Hello, everyone's.
Ah, my name is David Bell.
I am Tom Ryman.
And we just watched Ronin. 1998's Ronin. It's beautiful.
He was hired to lead a mission.
This is what we're after.
To recover a package.
We need to take it intact from several men who will be intent on preventing us.
Nice. My kind of job.
That some are willing to die for.
Relax, darling. Just a game. Could you take a picture of me and my wife? Get the background.
Guy goes for the case. Other guy's protecting the principal. Oh, they're good.
And everyone is willing to kill for.
I want $100,000. I want it up front. I want another $100,000 when you get the case.
All right. Tom, you've seen this movie already.
Yes.
Oh, I should say, guys, it's Thursday. This is our, I think we're going to brand this as, what did you want? What are you thinking? We just watched Classic, which I really like.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is basically, there's a Patreon tier on our Patreon page where our wonderful listeners can request, or sorry, demand that we watch a movie of their liking. This is brought to you by Josh Messenger, who, yeah, demanded that we watch Ronin. And so we did. And Tom, you've seen this already. Like we've established.
Yes.
In the narrative this podcast.
I had seen this movie once before, way, way back when it came out.
Okay. Because for me, this is legit. I just watched it. I've never seen Ronin.
Oh, you've never seen this before?
I've never seen Ronin before.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting because I should have seen this movie.
Right. I was about to say without risking making me sound foolish, this feels like extremely your shit.
All right. Yes, it is. What are your thoughts? Do you like Ronin?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's this is a great movie. I had a lot of fun.
It's a real good heist espionage spy thriller.
Yeah, it's not what I thought it was. I think I don't know what I thought it was. I thought it was like a bank robbery type movie or something. I didn't know it was this like heavy on the CIA.
It's real like espionage shit.
Yeah, I didn't know that the cast that it has didn't. What's his name? Gene Reen. I didn't realize he was in it. Sean Bean is briefly in it.
Yes.
Sean Bean he's essentially killed, but more in a, like his spirit is killed.
Way.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
That was a weird thing to have in this movie because I was like, you wasted your Sean Bean, but I guess we'll get to
Beans.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was his name? Jonathan Pryce. Is he the bad guy?
Jonathan Pryce is Seamus.
Yeah. That's another one where I was like,
Seamus, yeah.
Yeah, this is weird because he is not a formidable human, but I mean, he did a great job. Mm-hmm. And then
Stellan Skarsgård.
Yeah, Stellan Skarsgård. Papa Skarsgård is in this, and he's young.
Youngish, yeah. This is around Good Will Hunting time.
That's what surprised me is he looks younger than Good Will Hunting him, or like Deep Blue Sea. He's in Deep Blue Sea. I don't know, something about his makeup or like something, maybe the glasses. I don't know. It just felt like it was like him way younger than I'm used to, but it's a lie.
Yeah, no, this is Ryder. This is peak Skarsgård.
It is peak Skarsgård. Yeah, and of course Bobby De Niro.
Mm-hmm.
We got a hell of a cast here.
Yeah, it's quite a cast. Yeah.
Yeah, it's directed by John Frankenheimer. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like his directing career is more, I don't want to say behind him at this point, but he like did the Birdman of Alcatraz. He did the original Manchurian Candidate.
Yeah.
He also
did Reindeer Games.
Oh yeah. So he still had a couple of hits in him.
He also did The Island of Dr. Moreau.
Yeah, that's true. He has a...
You win some, you lose some.
Mm-hmm. You know, he had a cameo in a 90s movie playing a U.S. general. Do you know what movie?
Was it Mars Attacks?
No, it was The General's Daughter.
Oh.
For some reason, he has a cameo in The General's Daughter. So,
well, it's like when... I mean, it's like when Michael Bay has a cameo in Mystery Men.
Yeah. That's why did that happen?
I don't know. I mean, he plays like a frat boy gang leader, so it makes complete sense.
Oh yes, it's perfect. But mm-hmm. Did they even know at the time that
we didn't know who Michael Bay was?
Yeah, they did. Apparently,
This is like it was filmed in 98 and came out in 99. Mystery Men did, so it was like they already knew all the tropes about Michael Bay before the rest of the world did.
Right. Also.
Anyway.
Before Frankenheimer died, he almost did The Exorcist, the beginning movie. That mm-hmm. was a big disaster, but that would have been his final film. But he had to withdraw, and then he died shortly after. But, I mean, he's left quite a legacy, a complicated legacy that I quite like.
Yeah, for the most part. Like, Manchurian Candidate was a favorite movie of mine for a long time.
Oh, great film, yeah.
And I really like this movie because, I mean, it is densely plotted because there's so many double crosses.
Yes.
But I really like how it just starts. Like, it drops you in when all of the characters are meeting at a cafe and they've all been hired independently of each other and you don't know who anyone is.
That was my favorite thing, too, is that it reminded me of The Usual Suspects, except not made by like a sex criminal, at least that we don't know.
Right.
It scratches that itch.
It's the same gimmick as like The Usual Suspects or Reservoir Dogs, except we never get any background information on anyone.
No, we don't. In fact, even De Niro, like the big reveal, spoilers for Ronan.
For Ronan.
At the end is that he is not a lone samurai, as the title quite implies, because he's still with the CIA, right?
Maybe.
Well, he says to what's her name, who's in fucking everything. Shit.
I forget her name.
Damn it! Hold on.
He tells her, "I'm not out."
Right, Natasha Mick. Can't pronounce that.
McElhoney.
Yeah, he says to her, "Like I was never out. I'm after your boss."
Mm-hmm.
Which makes sense only because he leaves the money. Where did that money go? Because it gets sort of dropped on the ground, and no one. I was really concerned about that money.
Jonathan Pryce's money?
Yeah, because they.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what happens to that money.
That's. I hope it went to Gene Reen.
Jeannie Reens. No, I don't think Gene Reens gets it.
No, because and De Niro was interested in it because it's. His motivation that he claims is that he's looking to get paid, and that clearly isn't it, because at the end, he's just trying to get the bad guy after they shoot a ballerina, which was not something a figure skater.
They shoot Katarina Witt.
Yeah, not something I thought was going to happen in this movie.
Nope.
Did not expect
There is a staggering amount of civilian casualties in this
That was
film.
Something I wanted to talk about is for someone who's apparently a CIA,
mm-hmm.
He does not care about civilian casualties. I guess it's not America, but they're just mowing people down in the streets.
Yeah, and like we said, if you ever wanted to see Olympic gold medalist Katarina Witt get sniped in the middle of a skating routine.
What an honor for her. She must have had so much fun with that.
Just blasted right in the chest. And the audience barely reacts.
Yes, the audience are just confused.
Yeah, which you would be.
Yeah, there's a couple moments of this film that, like, it's an action, like, thriller, but there's a couple moments that were over the top in a way that I went, oh my goodness. That was one of them. The other was when they're in a car chase and Robert De Niro comes out of the skylight with a
bazooka?
Fucking bazooka.
He sure does.
Yeah, and I was just like, oh my. Because at that point in the movie, like, bazookas didn't come into play until that very moment. And I just didn't think it was going to escalate to that.
Well, you see him he has a grenade launcher earlier, and then when as they're driving, you see him start to put the bazooka together. So you're like, uh-oh.
Oh, right, yeah.
It's about to be bazooka time. Yeah. Bazooka De Niro, as he was called growing up on the streets.
Bazooka De Niro. Because
he would punch people so hard, they said it was like getting hit by the bazooka.
Right. Another aspect of this movie that I'm
bazooka
just...
Bazooka Bobby.
Sorry. Bobby Bazooks.
Bobby Bazooka.
Bobby Bazooks. Hey, I'm Bobby Bazooks. No, apparently this was co-written by David Mamet, which also explains a bit. Yeah, I really enjoy some Mamet. I watched The Spanish Prisoner fairly recently, and that's another like mystery thriller. It's less action-y. And I'm wondering if that was sort of his contribution to this, was maybe the more dialogue side.
Yes. What I read is that he provided a lot of the dialogue specifically for De Niro's character.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. That's great. I mean, that's a good fucking flavoring to sprinkle on this crazy ass movie. This movie is, I think, most known. It's weird talking about this movie having not seen it, but at the same time, I'm actually fairly confident that a lot of people listening might not have seen this movie.
Well, I mean, it's old, but it made a big splash when it came out. For there are two extended car chases in it.
I was about to say it's compared to like.
The French Connection and Bullet.
Yeah, it's got that old-timey car chase where it's like, we're not Fast and Furious yet here. We're in reality, but it's so good. Because it's when I say we're in reality, I also just mentioned that he has a bazooka in one part.
He has a bazooka, yeah.
Yeah, it still takes it right to the edge, but it's so well done as a stunt movie that you're riveted by the car chases.
Yeah, they're very good.
Yeah. When they like they're on that highway and it's curving down, and then they drive them off the road, so they're off roading, and it was shit like that where they're like they knew they had to do something really fun with it, the construction site where they go launch off, the car flips,
and the car catches fire.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah, it's basically a lot of civilian casualties.
So many random civilians get shot. And like Frankenheimer's an old-timey director, so he was still using the old-timey blood packs, which are these really thick, richly colored reds. So it's like people are just spurting paint all over the place.
Everybody's like
shot.
Everybody's RoboCop. Like it's everybody's just getting tore up.
It's very excellent. Mm-hmm. There's a moment where Stellar Skarsgård drives a guy to a playground and is going to blow this little girl's head off just to show the guy he doesn't give a shit.
That was okay. There's okay. I think about movies like Mitchell, like old 70s crime that didn't quite work out. But there's always we watched Blind Fury. Where every now and then there's a villain detail that you're like, that's fucking weird, but I love it. That was startling because it's just, it's so, like, so Stellan, the idea is Skarsgård is one of the people who gets hired to steal the MacGuffin, this briefcase that we don't really know what it is, and that's sort of the point. Mm-hmm. It's very,
We never know what it is. We are never told what it is.
It's very Pulp Fiction.
It's Marcellus Wallace's ice skates.
Yes. And so they're basically this group of people are commissioned to steal this briefcase, and they don't need to know what's in it, and they need to do it really fast. And it's who's actually having them do this? The IRA? Is that
it? The Irish. We're not even really sure if it's the IRA. We just know that they're being paid and ordered around by an Irish lady who won't tell them much.
Right. It seems implied by the existence of this film in the 90s, where it's like, it's probably the IRA.
Well, and they say at the end that Seamus, who is Jonathan Pryce, was an Irish terrorist connected with...
Right.
I can't remember if he's connected with the IRA, but...
But we don't know any of that at the start, and so they have to go steal this, and they eventually do, and then Stellan replaces it with a bomb and fucking just fucks right off. And it was like a surprise backstabbing from a Skarsgård.
But then in true Skarsgård fashion, he proceeds to just carve his way through this movie like the shark from Jaws.
Oh, yeah. And the one part we were talking about is he meets with, I think, Jonathan Pryce. No, he meets with a rando.
And, just a random bag man.
Yeah, because it doesn't last long. And
no, he sure doesn't.
They're meeting in a car by the playground, and Skarsgård has this, like, it's like a regular gun, but it's, like, wrapped in, like, a really cool sight and a silencer. Mm-hmm. It looks like a future gun, but then when you look at it a little closer, you're like, oh, no, he just put a bunch of shit on that gun.
Yeah, he just bought a bunch of accessories.
Yeah, and so the guy is like, it's the don't fuck with me situation, and Skarsgård is just like, you see that little girl on the playground? And he just takes the gun and points it at her, and then the other bad guy like grabs his hand and he still fires, and it like hits the playhouse that the girl's in. Yeah. Girl does not notice. No Mm-mm. one notices. And he's just like, I just wanted to show you, like, he's just like, I don't know that girl and I was about to kill her. I know you and I don't like you, so you don't fuck with me, is basically his point.
Yeah.
But if I was that other guy, I'd be like, you know, you're being really unprofessional right now. Like, we're trying to have an exchange and you were about to brain a child.
Right. We're about to do, like, a huge amount of money exchange here for a highly illegal and devastating yeah. item, and you're about to just detonate a kid's head right. 10 yards away.
Yeah.
That might attract some attention. Show yeah. some fucking professionalism.
Yeah, just be discreet, man. I'm not yeah. stopping you necessarily because I don't want that kid to die. Maybe it's just that I don't want to blow up our fucking exchange yeah. right now.
You're blowing up our spot, my dude.
Yeah. It's really, he's a Skarsgård is not a good criminal in this.
He is and he isn't. Like, yeah. he fucking ruins just about everyone that crosses him until the very end.
Right, and just to jump to the end, the figure skater, what happens is Skarsgård meets with Jonathan Pryce, and he's like, I got the MacGuffin, I want the money, and they take out the money. He's like, all right, what's going to happen is in 45 seconds, if I don't radio and say I'm leaving, I have a sniper trained on your figure skater friend, and that they're going to blow her away. And then in another 10 minutes, I'm going to check in to say I'm safe. And you think, like, oh, good plan. And instead, they just shoot him in the head.
Right. It's not Jonathan Pryce he's meeting with. It's this Russian guy.
Oh, it's right.
Yeah, it's the Russian guy who's also right. been trying to steal the case. And all we've seen that, like, Katerina Witt is, like, his wife or girlfriend. So it's like, you think this gambit is going to work, so and then he just shoots Skarsgård, so they blow Katerina Witt away. Like, this guy was like, no, I don't like her that much. I like my money much more.
Right. So that, okay, hold on. So that's a real figure skater.
Oh, yeah.
They don't identify her by name, do they?
She's playing a Russian. Okay. Katerina Witt is German. She's playing a Russian figure skater in the movie.
Okay, so they just needed someone, because I like the idea that she's playing herself, and they were just like, yeah, in this fictional world, you're dating a guy who really doesn't give a fuck about you. Like, it's a weird cameo. Like, I'm glad she did it. I would do it if I were her.
Yeah, of course.
But, like, the revelation is basically this guy is just like, yeah, no, you can shoot her, it's fine.
Yeah, I don't give a shit.
Yeah, Skarsgård.
I'd really much rather have my money.
Again, he does this thing where he keeps being like, I'm going to kill a random person, but in the context of what's going on, it isn't the best idea. Like, the little girl, just generally not a good idea.
Nope.
God, this movie's great.
He's just a fucking menace.
Yeah. I want to talk about Sean Bean.
We're going to talk about Sean Bean.
Sean Bean.
So Sean Bean is one of the members of the team they hire, but he's just, there's something off about him. Like, he has this like real nervous look about him,
right?
Which is partially, like, just the way that Sean Bean looks.
He's kind of a madman, but yeah, at first I thought, like, oh, it's just Sean Bean playing Sean Bean.
Mm-hmm. But he's kind of like, they have to buy guns, they have to supply. So they go out, he goes out with the driver, who's this guy, Larry.
Oh, Larry.
Who just kind of looks like a schlubby dude, but it turns out he's like this badass getaway driver.
Yeah, Larry's my hero because I'm a schlubby
kind of
dude.
Awesome.
Yeah, so I was just like, oh, Larry's showing me that I could do this. I could be a badass criminal.
Yeah, if you'd shown me seen Bean and Larry and said, guess which of these two guys is going to be the useless member of this group, I would have picked Larry.
Right. But Larry steps up.
Larry's solid.
To the bitter end till he gets his throat slashed.
Throat not even slashed. That's like a too gentle of a word what happens to Larry's neck.
True. Gets his throat
torn
removed.
Out by a jaguar. So they go to buy these guns. It's like, and it's just an incidental double cross. Like, it doesn't really, like, these guys are just gun
just
runners
kind of
who are just trying to rip them off.
Well, okay, here's my argument about that, because yes, they do seem sketchy, because the idea is that they give them a car and they're like, it has half the guns in it, and they're like, the other half is in this other car that's down this creepy tunnel. And Sean Bean is just like, yeah, let's do it. Let's go.
Yeah, let's fucking do it.
Yeah, and De Niro's just like, this is a setup if I ever saw one. But they never technically double-cross them. What happens is De Niro sees a sniper and just immediately starts shooting them. And that implies, I mean, I know in the narrative, like, yeah, they were double-crossing them, but they could just want, like, a buddy. They could just want a sniper buddy, right, in case things go wrong. Like, that's... Like, yeah. I know that in the narrative, but when I saw the sniper, I was like, oh, that's a good idea. You should have, like, if you're doing a guns deal or a drug deal, have, like, a sniper nearby just in case things go wrong and you got someone to protect you.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it doesn't look good. It doesn't look good in a business transaction.
Yeah, it's real suspect.
It's suspect in, like, if you see a sniper in that situation, you're going to, you know, you're going to shoot at it.
You're going to shoot at him. You're going to shoot at that sniper.
Yeah.
Sean Bean is just a idiot. Like, he's some dude who just, like, I think he just talked a big game and got himself hired. Like, he clearly doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite roles, because he's basically a crime poser. And like, he's another character I could relate to. Like, I like the idea that he was just in a bar at the right time and he's just a compulsive liar, and next thing you know, he's like hanging out with CIA guys doing this mission. And so, yeah, he almost blows the thing, and then they have to drive away from the cops in a very nice, quick but nice car chase. And then Sean Bean has them pull over and has to vomit.
Yep.
And then he's trying to talk this big game and, like, be in charge. And De Niro does I loved this scene.
It's a good exchange, yeah.
Yeah, De Niro calls him out by basically setting his coffee down. And then, like, basically, like, backing him into the coffee and making them spill the coffee on himself, and then grabbing him and being like, I just ambushed you with a cup of fucking coffee.
Yeah.
And basically pointing out, like, you don't know what the fuck you're doing. And they just pay him, like, a little bit of money, and they're like, okay, now go.
They pay him for his time. Yeah, the Irish lady pays him for his time, and it's like, all right, you should leave while we're gone.
Yeah,
and you should forget about us, because we're not going to forget about you.
Yeah, he's kind of the luckiest character of the whole movie.
Sort of, like, he walks away clean. We don't see him again after
we
that.
We never, the fact that it was Sean Bean, I was like, oh, he's clearly coming back as a villain.
Nope.
But no. And it's not like he wasn't famous at this time.
No, like, he wasn't super famous. In America, all he'd really done was Goldeneye.
That's true. Because to me, it felt like Steven Seagal in Executive Decision, but like an even more interesting twist, where it's like, yeah, this guy sucks. You're
fired.
He's
a clown.
Yeah.
He also, like, there might have, like, his... He had, like, cuts on his face, and his eyes were real sunken in and kind of swollen. So he might have, the implication might have been that he was, like, a junkie.
Yeah. I love the idea of him going back to, like, his junkie friends or, like, a video store he works at. And he's just like,
it's like whatever fucking Walmart he bluffed his way out of.
Yeah. Throws down a wad of cash and is like, guys, you'll never believe what my night was like.
Like, I got so far in this heist.
Yeah. He's going back to his improv troupe.
Yeah.
Just like, guys, so I did the exercise we talked about and it went really wrong. It did not go in the direction I expected.
I yes-anded my way into a CIA heist.
Yeah. It's one of the most incredible roles or characters in an action movie I've seen, because he's inconsequential.
Right. It's a very strange thing to include.
Yes. It's fascinating. Like, I loved it. But mm-hmm. I think it was meant to prop up De Niro as being a man who could just smell this bullshit a mile away. And he sort of takes point at that moment of just being mm-hmm. like, okay, I'm in charge. Like, I'm gonna, because that's what they do that's really good is that they start with these, like, five characters, and he slowly morphs into the alpha as yeah. they go. And he doesn't do it by being a dick. He just does it by being the most capable. And, like,
right. It's like one of those, it makes sense. It's kind of like what would naturally happen in a work situation where you get thrown together with a bunch of strangers and you just kind of wait a little while and what everybody is good at and what their position is becomes clear eventually. And it just gels together. And he's like, okay, I like know how to do this. So I'm just going to start doing yeah. this. And everybody yeah. just starts following his lead because, like, oh, well, he knows what he's doing. So. Yeah,
this guy is clearly like CIA or something.
Oh, he's done
like,
this before. Okay.
Yeah. Like, and it does seem like in the end, like Gene Reen, like he kind of leaves with nothing. He's like one of the few surviving people. And I feel like he's just thankful to, like, he's just like, that got out of hand.
Yeah.
And now I met this CIA guy and he's a nice guy and I had a fun time with him. And I'm just glad it's over.
He probably got paid something.
I hope. Again, that's why I was like, someone needs that briefcase, right? Someone deserves it.
Well, the briefcase of money, I don't know what's happened to that. That was the Russian guy's money.
Yeah. That's what I mean.
It may still be out there in the parking lot for
probably,
all we know.
Probably. Some kid found it.
Yeah.
I like the scene at the hotel where there's a lot of like really smart little espionage ideas where they're casing the guy with the suitcase and it's him and the Irish lady and
oh yeah when he's doing like
to be a couple.
Yeah, when he has the guy take pictures of him. It was a really cool
yeah.
scene.
It was a cool idea because the idea is they're trying to take pictures of this other group. So he calls a tourist over and he's like, hey, could you take our picture? Here's how the camera works. And he snaps a couple photos toward the people and like keeps doing stuff like that, like finding reasons to. And then he takes a hotel, like a kiosk sign, and props it on some luggage and sets up the camera to take a picture. And when the luggage falls, he takes pictures of the reaction of the bodyguards around the suitcase, around the MacGuffin, to see how they're going to react to a sudden sound.
Yeah.
Like, there's some really cool, smart shit in this.
This is a good movie.
It's a really good movie.
If you like, it's you know, another movie with Gene Reen in it. It's similar to the first Mission Impossible. It's not as actiony, although there are extended action sequences.
Yeah, I would argue it's a different type of action.
It's a different type of action for
Mission
sure.
Mission Impossible isn't that actiony. The first one,
mm-hmm,
it's all spooky and De Palma. It's got the train
one,
at the end,
right? Like this one doesn't have kind of like the over the top sequences that Mission Impossible
yeah.
does.
Yeah, yeah, it's not as, oh, yeah.
It just has different kinds of action sequences, that's true.
Yeah, the scale is different. They fucking have a shootout at, I believe, the Colosseum,
mm-hmm.
where they kill numerous tourists.
Several tourists get blasted.
And again, it feels
and
like...
you see, he parks the camera on them, so you get to see like their look of surprise and horror as the
yeah.
squib explodes in their chest.
And they don't care. That's what's funny
nope.
about this, is that... In the end, I'm like, well, none of these people are good.
No,
like,
they left a trail of bodies.
Yeah, Robert De Niro's
for not
to be
that
again.
Much money.
Yeah,
They're getting paid $5,000 a week for a maximum of 4 weeks, with an additional $20,000, I think, if the job's completed. I believe that's what she told them
yeah.
they were getting paid at the beginning. It's like not that much money.
It explains why Sean Bean's there, I guess.
Yeah,
because they show that they're like desperate, so they just grab a bunch of dudes.
Right, like that's why they're doing this. Like,
but they're getting
De Niro asks for a shitload of money because of how complicated it is, and she just flat out tells him, she's like, look, if we had the money to buy the case, we wouldn't be stealing it.
Right. He does get what he wants. That was a cool scene because when he tells Sean Bean, like, you're crap, and sort of establishes himself as the alpha, one of the things he does is he's like, I want all of us to have $100,000 each. And she's just like, let me make a phone call.
Yeah.
And like, again, that would be the moment where I'd be like, yeah, I'm going to listen to this guy. He just got me a big raise.
He just got us like a 300% increase.
Yeah. But like, man, if he is a CIA operative, he's going to go back and they're going to be like, so you killed how many people? This is a father and his kid at the Coliseum. Like, it's just so much collateral damage. I was expecting him to just, like, if he got into a doorway and there was, like, a tourist in the way, he just casually shoot them in the head to get by. Like, it was that casual, it seemed, where they were just like, yeah, we're firing wildly into crowds. But what do you want us to do? Not get the
we gotta get the briefcase, man. Yeah. There's some sort of, I don't know, world-threatening device in there.
Right. That may or may not be as threatening as the body count that we've created getting it. Who can say?
None of us know.
None of us know.
It's Marcellus Wallace's ice skates.
Yeah.
It could be. We find out that the special briefcase is a container for ice skates, which is how they track the pack. That's how they track the Russian to the ice skating exhibition or whatever.
Yeah, it's a lucky little connection. It's not bad.
Yeah.
There's a weird detail, but I like the little moments where they interact with people. I like the running joke where he talks to his like CIA connection. Mm-hmm. And Gene Reen is like, who's that? And he's like, oh, old friend from high school. And then later, Gene Reen talks their way through security. And he's like, how'd you do that? And he's like, he's an old friend from high school. And then later, when De Niro, where they have to punch their way through security, and they get to that guy. And Gene Reen is like, you have to do it. I can't live with myself.
I couldn't live with myself. Yeah. He makes him knock the guy out.
Yeah. Which I was expecting De Niro to just execute them, because at that point it was like, they don't seem to care about casualties.
Yeah. I mean, they're not going, I guess, when they can help it. I don't know.
No, it is. It's just recklessness. That's all. Unless it's the bad guy. Unless it's Skarsgård, who is willing to shoot a child.
Right. He is just chewing his way through Europe.
He is quite the maniac.
Yeah.
He kind of goes rogue, is the idea, is that...
Oh, yeah.
I don't know at what point, because, yeah, I guess the idea is he's always was working for the Russians, because he had the other case, because he knew the case was going to be...
And we know the Russians are paying a lot more. That's the whole point.
Right. Yeah.
So...
That checks out.
I probably would have rolled on these Irish people, too.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
the Russians are offering me, like, way more money.
I don't know. I wouldn't roll on De Niro.
That's true.
And
it'd
I don't
be tough
just,
to roll on De Niro.
Yeah, not just because he's De Niro, but because at a certain point, it would be very clear, like, I shouldn't cross this guy.
Well, that's what I mean. It's not because of any, like, you can't roll on De Niro because he's De Niro. It's like, no, I can't roll on De Niro because he will find me.
Yeah, because he's clearly, like, CIA or something. Like, this man is... a professional. Like, this man has clearly been doing this for quite some time.
Like, he looks like, if I crossed him, he would just sit there staring at a wall, eating copies of my photograph until he found me.
Right. They do establish well that I think Skarsgård is like full of himself and a little over his head, especially at how he gets got at the end.
Yeah.
A lot of these criminals, and I kind of like this, is like, they're not perfect. Like, the part where he almost shoots the child. The way that what happens is that the other bad guy betrays him, doesn't like gives him fake money, points a gun at him, and is just like, I have the upper hand. And so Skarsgård just like is in the driver's seat of the car, so he just like taps on the gas, and the guy stumbles, and then he just shoots him right in the face,
blasts his face apart.
Yeah, and it's like, you dummy. That was a dumb thing to happen.
You guys are getting got in stupid ways.
Yeah, but like realistic, I feel like, where it's like, none of these people really are perfect at what they're doing.
Yeah, none of them are like super masterminds.
Yeah, it's not, it's not Hobbs and Shaw where like there's ninjas and they're perfectly timing these heists. Like, I like that it's messy. It's very 90s action, you know? This movie is extremely like 90s action, in all the best ways.
Yeah, in all the good ways.
Yeah, I like when De Niro gets shot and he has to do surgery on himself.
Yeah, solid get. He also gets shot in kind of a stupid way.
Doesn't the villain put Teflon on the bullet? And that's what they say. Why?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it ricochets.
Yeah, like
but
John Reno slaps
the
guy's
the
gun. Yeah, I think that's just because it's a Teflon coated round.
Right.
But he like slaps the guy's gun and it shoots the wall, but then it just happens to snag De Niro in the side.
Right. It's and he like has a good,
like, ah, damn it.
Yeah, shot De Niro, and I feel like this is a De Niro thing, not just this movie. But he always has that face of just like, dad, jeez. Ah, jeez.
Yeah.
I've like, been shot.
Oh, jeez. I knew today was going to be a day.
Yeah, it reminds me of the shootout in The Departed where, I forget his name, one of the mobsters gets shot in the car and is like speeding backwards in the car, and to himself just goes like, ah, fucking shot. Like, he's just like so annoyed with the situation.
I think it's Ray Winstone, isn't it?
It's Ray Winstone. Thank you, Ray Winstone. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's just like so annoyed. And yeah, that's the same with De Niro. He's just like, oh, I'm going to fucking die probably. And then then they do the surgery. And then when they get the bullet out, he's like, you can sew this out up on your own, right? I'm going to pass out.
I'm going to pass out now.
Yeah. All casual. Like, oh, it's a lot of fun. We haven't talked about the, I would say my least favorite part of this movie, which is the romance.
Oh, that was dumb. Yeah, we didn't need that at all.
They were trying to give De Niro a reason not to kill himself through. Like, they wanted to give him something to give a shit about. And so the woman, the
Irish woman,
basically they're pretending to be husband and wife for a little, and they do the thing where like a cop goes by and they pretend to be making out in a car, and then she's just like, you know what, I'm gonna get all up on this dick.
Yep.
Which actually, it doesn't take away her agency in the sense that we later learn that she's bad, and she's clearly trying to leverage him, is the idea, I think.
She wasn't planning on double-crossing this group.
Oh, you're right.
It's just Jonathan Pryce comes in and fucks everything up.
Yeah, so I guess she was just wanted to get all up on that De Niro.
Yeah, she just wanted to get all up on that dick.
Which was fine. It was gradual enough, like they gave them... It's weird, because they don't talk that much, but there's like a tension between them, and then... I don't know. It wasn't necessary. It was my least favorite part.
Yeah, it was super unnecessary.
Yeah, it wasn't egregious, but then later it's De Niro's face where the point where he's like, should just shoot her, and he doesn't.
Yeah.
And then
in point of fact, John Reno is like, why didn't you just shoot her?
Yeah.
Like,
and then later
he thinks they've been ripped off. Like, at this point, they don't know that she's not just rolled on them.
Right, so there's like, better safe than sorry, blow her away.
Yeah.
And then later...
I don't think they ever learn otherwise.
No, I don't think so. And so later, when he's about to go after Jonathan Pryce, she's in a cop car, and he's like, that's when he tells her, like, yeah, I'm not... He more or less says, I still work for the CIA. I forget the phrasing.
He says, I'm not out.
I'm not out, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, could
or
mean
I'm still,
a few
I'm not out or I'm still in. He says I'm one of the two, but it's like, he basically... He gets to her, and she's manning the getaway car for Jonathan Pryce before Jonathan Pryce gets there and convinces her to drive away and just fucking leave Pryce's ass.
She's like, yeah, go. I'm after him. Which, yeah, it's, again, I'm pretty sure you're CIA because it's the only reason.
Well, he's at the very least still working with them.
Right, because I thought the moment he drops the money and leaves with the MacGuffin, if De Niro wasn't after him, he would just grab the money and leave. But like showing that he's just like, no, the money isn't the thing that matters.
Oh, I'm actually stopping the bad guy. It's not a question whether or not he's after Jonathan Pryce. It's just there's an interaction he has with the CIA buddy when nobody else is around to hear it, where his CIA buddy's like, I thought you were gone or something like that.
Right. So, yeah, the idea is he's probably thought, yeah. He left the CIA, but he's still a CIA agent in a sense, like in his heart, you know, like he's not ready to, he sees this bullshit happening and he knows he has to stop this bad guy as opposed to make money. So you're right, is that there's a very good chance. Yeah. Okay. Because again, we said this at the top, is the characters don't explain themselves that much.
No.
And you have to kind of think about it, but he probably was legitimately doing this for the money at first.
Possibly.
And then once he learned, yeah, but I could see once he learned the stakes, he was like, man, I have to stop this. Like, someone has to get involved.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah, it could be a lot of things, but you're not confused at the end. And of course,
no, it's just they leave a lot of stuff, a lot of things aren't answered. And that's it's kind of a theme of the movie where they're talking about that's rule number one, that's rule number two, where it's like, right, there's, you're just going to have to, I forget the way they phrase it, but it's like, look, there's just going to be things that you're not going to know the answer to. That's the nature of the spy game, baby.
Yeah, they could have called it the spy game.
They could have called it Spy Game. That would have been a good title for a movie. Spy Game. Can you imagine that movie?
Spy Game. It just rolls off your tongue.
Man, yeah. Spy Game. Spy Game. Feels like a movie that like Robert Redford would be in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, I watched, this is kind of a deviation, but I watched all the President's Men the other day.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great movie. So much smoking. So much. They're
going to
get...
If you watch any movie from the 70s, man, it's just a cloud.
They're going to get in trouble. But I always forget how abrupt that ending is. It ends... It like yada yada's the Nixon part. Like,
yeah,
it's very weird. They're just like, yeah, and then like in a few years, Nixon's gone. The end. And it's like, what? Like every single time. It's like they ran out of money when they were making the movie and they're like, shit, we have like another half hour to film, but we can't. So let's just, let's wrap it up. But, anyway, so it ends with them back at the diner where they start, and De Niro and Jean Reno go their separate ways. And it sort of just ends. They do, he walks back up the stairs that we see him, first go down, right? To go to the diner.
Yeah, it's at the, they're at the cafe they all meet at. It begins and ends. It's a nice little bookend.
Yeah, it is. And I want to talk about, because our Patreon subscriber, Messenger, what's his name, Josh Messenger? Yeah.
Sure, that's probably right.
He wanted us to check out the alternate ending.
Yes.
It is very interesting because the test audiences hated it.
I can see why.
Yeah, the alternate ending is basically the exact same scene. And, all right, so when they're at the diner, he says something like, Jean Reno is like, she's not going to come back here. Like, Robert De Niro's all like lovesick for this lady who,
yeah,
you know,
he's clearly looking around to see if she's going to show back up.
Right. And the way the original film ends is just that. And then he walks outside, looks around, she's not there, and leaves. But apparently the alternate ending, you can look it up online, is they show her also near the cafe. And she's, like, hesitant. She, like, wants to go in and see him, too.
Yeah.
And it's, like, it looks like it's going to be a near miss. And then a fucking black van shows up with the terrorist people. And they drag her into
the
van.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're like, this is what we do to terrorists. Except they say it in an Irish voice.
Yeah,
and not in that weird Australian accent I did.
So it's implied that she was murdered. And test audiences were like, aw. Real easy fix. They just, like, cut those little parts out. And I would argue that it is actually better without it. What do you think?
I 100% agree that it's better without it, because it fits with the theme of the movie where you're just like, yes, you're just not gonna know.
Yeah,
whatever, you're
gone.
Not gonna know where she went. She's gone. She's
yeah
in the
everybody
wind.
Everybody, it's a series of farts in the breeze just passing each other by.
Yep.
And so yeah, it was like almost too like Hollywood, too movie to do the other version. And yeah,
well,
it was also a bummer.
Like, it was also like, yeah, it was unnecessarily cruel.
Yeah.
For the audience. It's like, why would you end the movie that way? Like, we don't get anything from that.
Right. We just get a little, we get like, because it's fascinating how little of a change made a big difference, because the ending they do, I feel good at the end.
Yeah.
And then this alternate version, it's like, well, I feel shitty now.
Yeah, because,
And it's like, it's not, the ending they went with isn't a happy ending, it's a neutral ending.
Yeah, not, it's not really happy, but it's like, it ends with, like, De Niro drives away, and then it ends with John Reno going out and walking up the stairs, and he has a little internal monologue voiceover about, like, maybe there should be a rule number three, and then it just kind of wraps up the movie and credits roll, and it's like a nice
moment.
It's
a much better one.
Yeah.
And I don't think there was much pushback. I think Frankenheimer saw the test times from what I read, and he was just like, no, you guys are right. Let's get rid of it. Like, I don't think it was like, this is my vision, damn it. Like, they were just like, nope, that didn't work.
Yeah. So, yeah, sometimes when you're in it, you can't see.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm reminded of, and again, like, that's why they do stuff like that. I'm reminded of the original ending of Clerks, where
Jesus.
Kevin Smith was told, like, man, you really shouldn't do that. And he was like, okay. Like, I don't think it took much convincing for him to be like, yeah, you're right, that's a real bummer.
Which is interesting, because that was like, he wrote the movie around that ending. Like, that ending
right.
was his initial idea was that at the end of the day Dante would be shot
in a, like, robbery.
Yeah, it's like, well, fuck this. And that's why it has like the chapter headings that are like the the circles of Dante's Inferno,
right,
or whatever.
Yeah, it just didn't... It's funny because with that tone of that movie, it's such an obvious mistake when you're outside of it. Because it's like, no, you made a zany workplace comedy.
Yeah.
Like, well, what
don't
the fuck?
Put this shit in it, you maniac.
Yeah, what the hell, man?
The hell are you doing?
But I get it. Is this film fresh out of film school or film school dropout? Yeah. Like trying to make something. It's the impulse to want to make something that's deeper than it needs to be. And it's just man.
Sometimes things don't need to be deep, man. Sometimes your movie just needs to be a good story.
Right. And the ending, man, this is going off the rails. But like the ending of Clerks where he's just like, we're closed, and throws the thing at him. It felt like it was like, oh, that's clearly the ending. Yeah. Like that's so, it's like it felt so planned, and it's insane. That's like probably the most fascinating alternate ending.
Yeah,
that's
like one
movie.
Of the greatest near misses.
Yeah,
ever.
Because that would have 100% ruined that movie.
Yeah,
like that would have been like, hey, remember that weird movie that like ended with the guy getting shot? What the fuck was that?
I guess it would have been Under the Cherry Moon.
Right, it would have been Under the Cherry Moon, which I still say I was when Prince gets shot at the end of that. I was like, you know what? Good. He's been bothering this lady for so long. Good. Now you're jamming with your band in heaven. Every win-win. Everybody's doing great.
Mm-hmm. We're all killing it.
Yeah. Under the Cherry Moon. Why did I have to spend my... You know, I watched that movie like 3 times for that podcast.
I mean, your life is 3 times better, exactly. You know,
6 hours of my life spent watching Under the Cherry Moon. And I say, it's funny that I say it like that, because I'm pretty sure like 15 hours of my life has been spent watching like The General's Daughter. But for some reason, that feels like time better spent.
I don't know.
I guess it all depends on your taste.
Yeah, it's all perspective.
It's all perspective. Man, that's all my thoughts on Ronin. Do you have any more?
Yeah. No, I don't have any more thoughts on Ronin.
Yeah,
it's a solid film.
I think this movie exists like in the same realm as like Heat, like 90s action that isn't like, it's not such a classic that when you're hanging out with friends, someone's like, oh, we got to put on Ronin. You know, like no one puts on Ronin.
Well,
no one's like, dude, we got to watch Ronin. What are
also,
you
say? Yeah, Ronin is, it's also... such a, like, it's kind of hard to Ronin's a tough one to be like with a group of friends and be like, oh, we gotta watch Ronin, because you have to sit there and watch it.
Yeah, you have to pay attention.
You really gotta hear what people are saying in Ronin.
Yeah, like it's not the same in terms of I mean, this I'm just reminded because it's another Mammoth, but like it's like the equivalent of Glengarry Glenn Ross, where
right,
it's like
you're not like hanging out with the guys.
Yeah.
And
even
like,
though
we gotta
it has,
watch Glengarry Glenn Ross.
Right, which I wanted to.
Haven't we done that? Didn't we
probably
watch Glengarry Glenn Ross as a group?
It's a fantastic film. I mean, half of the cast are really unpleasant people.
Oh,
but
yeah,
it's a great movie. I love me some Mammoth. But my point is that it's for that reason, I think this movie probably passed a lot of people by. I don't hear about it much. People don't talk about it much.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I'd never seen it before. So this is a long way of saying that I recommend this movie. If you like an action thriller, if you like yourself like a like an eagle eye or like a vantage point.
Oof, well, Vantage like, Point isn't very good.
No, I watched it recently. But, like, imagine that, but better. Like, the combination of action, thriller, mystery, but, like, competent.
Only, but, like, good.
You like good. Although, I gotta say, Vantage Point, hell of a cast. Everybody's doing their best.
It's just not a very good film.
It's, all right. We can discuss this another time. It's not very good. I think it's fine. I think it's fine. I don't think it's a bad movie, Vantage Point.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's trying to be something, and it accomplishes that, and it's a cool idea, and it's fine. Everybody watch Vantage Point.
Everybody watch Vantage Point. We got a lot of just errant recommendations on this
one. No, mostly Ronin. Mostly Ronin.
That's fair.
Yeah. But, yeah, if you have time, Vantage Point. Is that fair? Does that work?
Yeah, if we got some extra minutes, you got some extra minutes, throw on Vantage Point.
Yeah, all right.
Maybe watch that with the class. I don't know.
Yeah.
On a substitute teacher day, throwing vantage point.
Oh, yeah. I'm assuming that the person listening right now is a substitute teacher driving to work, mm-hmm. trying to figure out what they should do with their time. And I think Ronin / vantage point.
These are all options.
Yeah, you teach those kids some stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, shit. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, God,
you guys, what a ride we've been on.
It's been an experience, I gotta say. Mm-hmm. Special thanks to Josh Messenger for making us watch this, for bringing you this glorious podcast. Like we said at the top of this, this is part of our Patreon. It's a Patreon tier, and we have other tiers. So if you want to check that out, go to patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. Mm. Our most popular tier is we have a couple exclusive podcasts called Fox Mulder is a Maniac and Tom mm-hmm. and Jeff Watch Batman. Mm-hmm. People love them, and you should check them out. We have a tier where we watch movies every Friday with our patrons. Movies like Vantage Point, probably.
Possibly even Ronin. I don't know.
Possibly, yeah. Who can say?
Who the fuck knows the future?
Yeah, not me. That's for sure. That's for goddamn sure. So yeah, check that out, guys. Please. Pretty please.
Mm. Also, we have a store, tpublic.com/store/gamefullyunemployed, where you can check out shirts and mugs and all kinds of shit. So
yeah.
Do it.
Do that. And yeah, check out Ronin.
Yeah.
Write it down. Ronin, Vantage Point. I think we mentioned Island of Dr. Moreau at some point.
Island of Dr. Moreau, sure, yeah.
Yeah, and
Reindeer Games. We mentioned that. That's
you got yourself an afternoon.
A lot of
there.
Options. Yeah, you guys got like a solid day of just watching stuff.
Like a Sunday. Like a nice, like if really nice out and like
your
kids want to play.
Sunday activities to get into, to really get involved in.
You have like stuff to do and you're like, no, I can't. I'm watching these four movies.
I made a promise
to myself.
And you squealing children will just have to wait while I watch Ronin.
Yeah. You better watch out, because Skarsgård will get you otherwise.
He will. Yeah. You don't know.
He should
you don't
be
know
the
what
new,
he might be watching.
Yeah. Should be the new boogeyman.
Yeah, he probably is.
Yeah.
In wherever they're from.
Skarsgård, it sounds like a Babadook situation, yeah.
Yeah, it could be a Babadook situation.
Skarsgård, yeah. All right.